attendance that we have tonight. We have some visitors with us. We had some visitors this morning. I was very excited about the visitors we had this morning. Some who have attended in years past who were visiting today and said they would be coming back. Got to meet some new individuals today, and hopefully they will be coming back. And I shouldn't have said visitor and then talk about Mike because he's not a visitor, but it's so good to see Mike and hear the good news. And we're praying with great, great confidence for Marilyn's surgery this coming Tuesday. I know it will be very, very good. This morning we began a lesson that we will conclude tonight. If you were not here this morning, that's all right. This lesson will stand on its own. But our lesson this morning and tonight is about spiritual thirst. And our text took place in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, Jesus has not made his way from Galilee to Jerusalem until this chapter. He comes down to Jerusalem. He stays there in secret for a period of time. And then on the very last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, he reveals himself and has an opportunity to speak. And what he says is very, very important. If anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Now, brethren, something I intended on mentioning this morning that I failed to do so is this is the first time Jesus really revealed his power. This is the first time he really revealed who he really was. He waited until the time was right. And if I had another lesson to do in this series, we would talk about that. He waited till the time was right. When the time was right, he revealed himself. Brethren, any time the time is right for us to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord, whenever that occurs, then that time is right. And he offers them water. Now, this is not Ozarka water. This is not artesian water like the well we used to have on the other side of town. This is living water. Living water that only the Son of God could give. So Jesus in this offer is making himself known as the Son of God. And as we discussed this morning, there was an uproar. I believe this was God's plan. This got an active audience for Jesus to preach to. Now we also this morning made two comparisons. The water that Jesus is offering in John 7 is the same water he offered in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is also the same water he offered to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, where he said, if you drink of this water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And one of the strongest statements, or what I wanted to be one of the strongest statements that I made in the lesson today is, we need to acquire or reacquire or accentuate this thirst. We need to capture or recapture this thirst. Like the deer that pants for the water, Psalm 42. Like the soul that's lost in a dry and deserted land, Psalm 143. We need to desire and capture this thirst. The thirst that will be fulfilled. And the last thing I say from this morning's lesson, and that is this, we must thirst, we must long for spiritual refreshment, and Jesus has promised to fulfill it. Now to our text. Jesus cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You know, quite often in Jesus' ministry, he would make statements or comments like this. And maybe it would pass over his audience's head until they had an opportunity to think about it. Maybe they never really realized what he was saying. We have the completed gospel account, so we know exactly what he was saying. But I believe the Jews that were listening to him on that day knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Thirst, not physical thirst, but spiritual thirst. A similar statement Jesus made, a similar teaching, is when he referred to himself as the bread of life. So on in the Sermon on the Mount, he mentioned being hungry for the bread of life, thirsty for this living water. And I alluded to this, I believe, in class. But the very first temptation that Satan attacked Jesus with in Matthew chapter 4 was to turn these stones into bread. Now remember, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. And Satan is attacking his physical hunger. If you are the Son of God, then take care of your physical needs. Of course, Satan was thinking physical. Jesus seldom, if ever, taught about physical. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, by the teaching of God, that is this living water. So today, we're not interested in physical food. Oh, we need that to sustain life. But we are interested in the spiritual food, the bread of life, the living water that Jesus offers. So if we're spiritually hungry, we need to come to Jesus. If we find ourselves malnourished, we need to come to Jesus. If we find ourselves deprived, we need to come to Jesus. If we want God, we need to come to Jesus. You remember Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but by me." How could he say that? Because he is the way and the truth and the life. John 14, verse 6. So Jesus is the only source of this spiritual nutrition, this nourishment, the living water and the bread of life. Let's stay on that for just a moment. John 6, 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." John 6, verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." So it's really the same teaching, spiritual nourishment, spiritual life-giving nourishment, the living water and the bread of life. Now let's go to the Old Testament and find our New Testament application. Solomon was the second son of David and Bathsheba. And though David had other sons older than Solomon, when God chose the successor for David, he jumped over them and chose Solomon. And to help Solomon reign over Israel, and I'm sure that was a very difficult thing to do, but to help Solomon, he offered Solomon anything his heart desired. And very wisely, I might add, he chose wisdom, an understanding heart for the governing or the leading of the people. And as long as Solomon used that God-given wisdom, everything was all right. And to kind of hang with our theme, when Solomon began to drink from the polluted wells of the world, everything started falling apart. When he left God's protection, his life began to fall apart and he failed. Now we preachers, or at least I like to go to Ecclesiastes. I like to think that that was his repentance. I want to believe that. I believe that it was. I like to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 because Solomon is speaking for himself if he is the penman. And he talks about turning his back on God, and he mentions that maybe he was bored with life, and he talks about worldliness and wine and women and wealth, and all of these were vanity. I encourage you to read Ecclesiastes 2 before you go to bed tonight. Then he turned back to God. Then he used that godly wisdom that had been provided. And we're still in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 26. "God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to the man who is good in God's sight, but to the sinner, God gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God." This is also like, and I love the New King James translation, grasping for wind. You know, it's impossible to catch. And so is joy and contentment and happiness if we're reaching out for something other than the living water that Jesus affords. And in the very last chapter of his life story, he said, "This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, respect God, love God. This is the whole duty of man." So Solomon, hopefully, was the one who found that satisfaction in God. He found that proper relationship with God. Now, let's get back to our original premise, spiritual thirst. I was going to use this illustration this morning, but I realized I was going to run out of time and I was going to need a little extra time tonight, so I saved this illustration. Let's pretend that for some reason you find yourself out in the desert. I don't know how you got there for you analytics. I don't know how you got there, but you're out in the desert. You've been there for a few days. You've run out of water. And then you stumble upon an oasis. Let me ask you what might be the silliest question I've ever asked in a sermon. You're dying of thirst. You find an oasis. What are you going to do? Well, of course, you're probably going to go head first in that water and quench your thirst. That's what you would do. Now, here's where I'm going to change from a little giddiness to more seriousness. Jesus is saying, if you want that spiritual thirst quenched, you have to come to Him. However, this is one of those big howevers, it seems to me that more and more Christians all the time are dying of thirst, and maybe they even know it, but when they stumble upon that oasis, they just look at the water and don't get a drink. I don't know if it's they think it's macho to handle all their problems themselves. I don't know if they think it's their duty or responsibility to handle all their problems themselves. I guess they've just forgotten that the Bible says God will never leave us nor forsake us. And that Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. And Jesus also said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Peter writes, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Just like that horse to water that we mentioned this morning, God is not going to make us drink. He offers it, He invites us, but He's not going to make us drink. He's not going to make us turn to Him. He's not going to make us accept His help. He's going to offer it, and it's available, but we're going to have to do the asking. I remember one time years and years ago, I had a gospel meeting in one of the suburbs outside of Kansas City, Kansas. So I flew into the airport in Kansas City, and before I even went to get my bags, I wanted to go to the restroom, wash my face and hands. So went in there, and when I got up to the sink, we didn't have those newfangled technology. I don't know how that works either, but you put your hands under the spigot and it starts flowing water. So I'm looking for the handle or the button or something, and I don't want to look around too much in the men's restrooms, but I glance by and everyone else is washing their hands. Finally, the man next to me washing his hands said, just put your hands under the faucet and it'll come out. All I had to do was ask for help. And that's what Jesus says about life. We just have to ask for help, and He's going to be there to help us. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and that door of opportunity will be open unto you. So when we need help, all we need to do is ask. Now, if we're expecting God to always answer us in the time frame or in the way that we want and expect, we're teasing ourselves, but He will hear our request. He has promised He will, if we ask, we will receive. So that's why the water that Jesus offers is called living water. And that's why the nourishment, the sustenance that He offers is called the bread of life. When we come to Jesus, He will provide that spiritual satisfaction, that spiritual nourishment, that spiritual contentment that we are not going to find anywhere else. And so that leads us to our invitation. Brethren, if you're tired of just going through the motions, I'm not looking at anyone, I'm not pointing fingers. If we find anyone who is just tired of going through the motions, they need to come and drink from the everlasting water. If we find ourselves down and we are having trouble getting back up, we just need to come to Jesus and drink of this everlasting water. If we're thirsty, spiritually thirsty, Jesus said, come to me and drink, using the other scripture. We'll not be thirsty again. We will be if we try to fulfill our needs somewhere else. Jacob's well water or the pool of Siloam water. We'll be physically thirsty again, but he will give us spiritual refreshment that only we can find in him. So I ask the final question. Do you have the kind of spiritual thirst that Jesus requires? And we have to be thirsty all the time because we need to express our need for him all the time. Are you having the spiritual thirst in your Christian life that Jesus requires? You need to ask God and he will help you in that. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness. We shall be filled. So if anyone tonight needs to come and use this lesson as your reason, or if you have another reason, or if you really just need to come for any reason, we encourage you to come as we stand together and as we sing.